fossil fuel as a commodity and fossil fuel as a climate antagonist. I'm David Brancaccio. The price of crude oil is spiking, with some of that driven by some economies around the world that have been able to move away from restrictions on movement given the pandemic. Crude is up 0.9% to $68.33 a barrel now. That's off its highs of the day, but could we see a day soon when oil is above $70? You have to go back to the fall of 2018 to see wholesale prices that high. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
We're seeing some positive movement in the price of oil, and that means that there is optimism on the global economy. As people get more confident that the economy is coming back online, the price of oil is increasing, and we're seeing it now approach levels that we saw in 2018. That's a healthy sign on expectations.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva. The Dow is down 8 points in early trading here. The S&P is little changed. The NASDAQ is up 5 points. A new round of online chatter is boosting the so-called meme stocks again this morning. Stock in the AMC theater chain is now up 19%. BlackBerry, remember that name, up 8% at the moment. What to do with dead retail space is a question for local governments across the country. A bulldozer is an uninspiring way to deal with an empty JCPenney. What about turning it into affordable housing? Well, a bill in the California legislature addresses this, but there are issues. Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
Even if the Macy's is well past its prime and the Cinnabon line no longer wraps around the food court, a fading mall will often have a powerful defender.
From cities who don't really want to let go of that sales tax revenue.
David Garcia is a housing researcher at UC Berkeley. He says that's often why cities won't rezone malls for apartments. The California proposal chips away at cities' power to do that, but it doesn't address the stores themselves.
So like Macy's could have power to veto any redevelopment plans of a parking lot.
Anchor tenants often have long-term parking leases. They may give up some of that space for luxury condos, but maybe not low-income apartments. Sacramento developer David Mogavero says the economics of mall conversions are always tough, but the pandemic has knocked out some of his former competitors.
Office is dead in the water, too, so you're not going to see that.
Mogavero says mall conversions will mostly be in the suburbs, where everyone seems to be moving anyway. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
We've been covering the big boardroom story of this last week, the little hedge fund that bowled over ExxonMobil to get two activists who fight climate change elected to the board of the oil giant. How will Exxon measure progress towards stabilizing the Earth's temperature? Now, this summer will mark 2 years since the powerful club of CEOs called the Business Roundtable agreed that corporations need to serve shareholders, but not only shareholders. In a seismic shift, corporate leaders had pledged to also take into account the needs of the Earth, community, employees and other stakeholders. There is the measurement question that arises again. Elsie Mayo leads Soul Branding, a consultancy that works with companies to help them thrive together with society and the natural world. Ms. Mayo, welcome.
Pleasure to be with you.
All right, a new way to think about capitalism, but is there now a new phase after, you know, more than a year has passed?
Yeah, like show me the metrics. You know, we're restating the purpose of the corporation. There are promises and there's a flood of purposeful branding campaigns out there. What are we measuring against? What is the impact? What's the change in focus?
So, Elsie, if a company comes to you and says, all right, I want to do metrics, I want to start measuring this so I can show all the stakeholders, not just my shareholders, but the community and my employees and show environmentalists.
You put yourself with the stakeholder who you are attempting to create value for. And in a very humane, direct way, listen and ask them what would constitute well-being for you in your life. First, let me give you an example of what it's not, because Jamie Dimon did offer some new metrics.
In the J.P. Morgan Chase letter to shareholders that the CEO wrote.
Yes. And the metric he proposes is to put a unit value on carbon intensity.
Intensity. That's like the amount of carbon dioxide put out in return for the work accomplished might be an imperfect way to think about it. So that's the metric that Jamie Dimon was suggesting. And it sounds fairly noble for people very focused on climate change.
Except the way he's positioned it is not so that one might measure the ultimate effect on the stability of the atmosphere, but he explicitly says, so that we may facilitate ranking different clients for whether it's investment worthiness or credit worthiness with actually no regard for what it is that the trees and the forests and the rivers are contributing to the stability of the entire climate, to the well-being of the people who get to enjoy them.
Now, I got to believe that a lot of companies would be uncomfortable with this kind of thinking, just not used to thinking of things this way.
Oh, well, there are companies that are actually doing it. One of them is Triodos Bank, which is a bank that thinks of money as fertilizer, a nutrient for employees and customers to express their commitment to a world of living systems, starting with themselves, their households, and their local communities.
Consultant Elsie Mayo, founder of Soul Branding, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Much will happen throughout the day on our Money, Markets, Workplace Culture, Innovation Beats. Listen for my colleague Kai Rizdahl, host of Marketplace, on many public radio stations, of course, or streamable by going to the website, marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.